Good morning, everybody. Happy to see you all. Nice day and nice guru. And hopefully nice Dharma talk. So, we're going to talk from the book, Heartfelt Advice. Heartfelt advice is very personal. You might not agree with me if you don't heartfelt. If you feel heartfelt, then it is connecting. Heartfelt advice may not be so heartfelt advice if it's not connected with your heart. Your heart and your heart, your mind. Your mind, your heart. Connection. But before we talk about from the book, I want you to use your time and energy are very useful. That will be meditative. So while the teaching is presenting, you have also meditation. And we were talking about, I see a couple sort of new face, but sometimes I feel new face, but not necessarily they are new. They've been here a long time. They tell me, Lama, I'm studying. Lama, you don't know, I've been studying a year here with this group, and I'm not so new here. But then I would say, oh, okay, sorry, I thought you were new. But then some may be new. So anyway, if you are new, you are welcome. If you like this group and this type of spiritual activities, so if you appreciate it, then you are part of that group. You're invited, you're welcome here, everybody. Now, meditative, when I say I want you to be meditative, means partially you're meditating because your body is in a position, meditation position. So how about everybody sit straight? Your spine have to be straight as much as you can. Well, you should practice that. When you cannot do that, then that's a different issue. But if you can, it's good to practice straight your spine. And the more straight your body, sort of speaking, your mind will be also more straight. One thing for sure, energy flow more straight. So there is some truth in it. There is some reason to be that. And because of your body is straight, mind is straight, and energy flow smoothly, then when I say energy flow smoothly, I mean subtle energy, subtle body, subtle mind. And more smoothly, and then what happens is you will be automatically more alert. Automatically, naturally more alert. Alert is what we need, alertness. Be alert. Be aware. Be mindful. It's what we're talking about here. So while you're doing that, using your ear consciousness, capture the talk, and you will never keep all the talks, but you will keep at least 1 or 2%. And the rest, it's not you don't want to keep, but maybe there's not much room in it. You want to keep all, but there's a room space problem, then you can't really keep it. So you have to let them go, even though you don't want to let them go, but they go anyway. Means most talks you won't remember. But if you remember, you think you remember, you are lucky. Okay, so any requests from this book, Heartfelt Advice? Do you have any request? First 3 seconds, you raise hand, or else you choose. Yeah.
Page 35.
Thank you, sir. You did the 35. I happen to be 35, I'm holding. See, we have a connection here. So, page 35, what to adapt or discard? As a Buddhist Lama or Buddhist teacher, we are very careful about what to adapt and what to discard. The whole practice, whole concept of practice is how to choose your activities and what things you can use, what things you should avoid. It's whole issue. There is no other practice if you not concentrate on what to adapt or what to discard. There will be no Dharma practice. So in other words, you think you practice the Dharma. If you have nothing to do with what to adapt or what to discard, then you miss the whole point. So word we're using here is relinquishing our desire for an attachment to the mundane phenomena of secular existence is extremely difficult as we travel the path towards liberation. Travel towards the path of liberation, long journey. But this long journey is always there, even you not follow the path. So don't think the Buddhists have to deal with the long journey. The others have a shortcut. Not like that way. They all have a long journey, but the Buddhist long journey is all talking about spiritual. That's the difference. So it becomes spiritual journey rather than life journey. That's the difference. Until we have reached the first bhumi on a bodhisattva path. Bodhisattva means an advanced practitioner. Very advanced. If we don't get that level, our practice is quality is questionable. The quality of our practice is questionable. Simply, we may think that we're doing the best and high quality might not be so high quality because we may have something in it that is not that is makes not so high quality, which we may not aware of that. But first bhumi on a bodhisattva path, P-A-T-H, path, then from that point, the high quality begins. high quality of practice begins. In other words, your practice will never be decreased from that point. It will always increase. Whereas before Pashbhumi, your practice sometimes increase, sometimes decrease, and forward, backward, lot. And these are the practitioners we're talking about. The practitioners' activity we're talking about here. Now, somebody never practiced properly, we're not talking about their activity at all. There will be a different level way down there. We have to have something to lose when we're talking about losing something. If we don't have anything to lose, we're not talking about losing anything because there's nothing to lose. If that makes you clear. When all actions are dharma practice, it is difficult to discard our tendency towards self-deception. Self-deception is a major part of obstacle, but majority practitioners are not aware of self-deception. That is a major problem. Deception, self-deception, self-illusion or self-deception, the word we're using here, self-deception. Nobody want to deceive oneself. Nobody want to cheat oneself. But the fact is, things we involve with, things we do, end up once in a while, you realize you're deceiving yourself. Most time, you don't even know you're deceiving yourself, but you are deceiving yourself. And abusing your body, abusing your mind is a form of deception yourself. Abusing yourself, abusing your mind, abusing your body. Body abusing is maybe a substance and also drinks that is very harmful if you're not limited. If you're not moderation, if you're not careful with anything, because it is a form of deceiving yourself, your mind deceiving your body deceiving your mind. Sometimes your body and mind deceiving yourself. So there are all kinds of detail, but deceiving is a deceiving. Sometimes the people knowingly deceive, practice a deception. They think that I'm smart enough to do that for others, but sooner or later they have to pay the price. It's called what goes round comes round. Whatever you project up there is not going to disappear. Sooner or later it'll come back to you where it generated, originated, first place. And this is called law of causality, law of cause and karma. So that is other thing, Buddhist. It's a Buddhist, not stupid, but Buddhists are very careful. Their body, speech, mind, very careful is a belief and knowing that your creation is your responsible. Your karma is your responsible. It is difficult to discard our tendency towards self-deception. Sentient beings trapped in samsara, experiencing reality through six senses consciousness, creating a false duality between subject and object. Subject is you, object is all phenomena. But you're attached to object so much, so strong, you forget your subject yourself. In other words, you compete with the machines, you compete with the material, illusory material, and you don't realize that you can't make it because your yourself, it's not machine, it's not material. You can't keep up with it. But you don't realize. For example, you can be a millionaire, but you're still suffering that it's not enough for you. So it's not enough for you. You don't realize you have only a few years left. And that few years, you should eat good dinner and good food, treat yourself something. But you forget that part. You say, no, 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 it's not enough. Because you are always suffering from poverty, even you are a millionaire. Millionaire means you have mucho dinero. But richness is not depend on how much you have. Richness is depends on how you view the materials. And one way to think about that is practice contentment. Happiness, what you have. So subject and object, which leads to attachment and aversion towards certain experiences. We are attached to all the experiences, and experience that we have may or may not have to do with the reality. May or may not. Sometimes it does. Sometimes maybe nothing to do with the reality, or at least your type of reality, the type of reality you are talking about. We must discard this dualistic notion of subject and object. This means subject does not exist without, no, object does not exist without subject. But the subject, for instance, your mind, or I, or me. Me does not exist, I does not exist, and then where is the subject? If the subject disappeared in the emptiness, then all objects that you think up there in the universe doesn't exist for you. For you, they don't exist because you don't exist. How are you going to perceive object when you don't exist? Subject and object. In order to attain liberation, it becomes inseparable. And that is very difficult. If it becomes inseparable, you will never have craving. You will never have any desire to wanting because you are that subject-object inseparable. So how strong subject-object division is how strong attachment you have. That tells you. If you don't have attachment to all the phenomena and object, then means that maybe you are very close to the oneness of subject and object. In that case, you should not get any problem with get along with other living beings because there is no subject and object. It's oneness. You should just get along fine because it's yourself. And they say, I fight myself. This is funny, but it's I fight myself. Means you can say that way for a confused state of mind, but you can't really fight yourself when you can't find yourself who you are. First place, you have to find who you're fighting with. Then you have to say, this one I'm fighting. You can't find yourself first place. Where is yourself? You should know by that this time that where is yourself? It's located in your brain or heart or it's in your toe. Where is that? So far, nobody found it where your I or the self, nobody found it. So if nobody found it, then how can you fight yourself? There's nothing to fight yourself. Maybe you feel bad about yourself, but the one who is feeling bad and the one who feels bad and towards it is still one. As a regular sentient beings means unenlightened beings, our time is consumed by ordinary mundane activities without any essence. Beautiful. We as a sentient beings, we are always busy, by the way. And you wish that day is a little longer, or maybe you wish there's more. You wish that you are more younger, because so you can accomplish more. All of those available, that we sentient beings, we think that. We are so busy. Since we born from mother, but we accomplish, usually from a spiritual level point of view, we accomplish nothing yet. What did we do? Zero, nothing. But if we analyze what did we do, then we create a lot of negative karma than positive karma. We fought, and we practice attachment, we practice anger, jealous, we practice competition, just almost anything, body, your physical body, your mind, your speech, verbally. We practice all kinds of things, but the majority part is something to do with harmful for others. The harmful for others is our responsible. It's harmful for us. Harmful for myself, it's harmful for everybody. Because if you're crazy, you try to kill yourself or harmful, you drug yourself or drug, or you try to kill yourself, or in a way you're killing yourself. It's harmful for everybody that you associate with it. They're all affected, because by seeing you, hearing you, and feel you, there's something wrong. Is that good karma? No, it's all negative contribution. Without knowing, your contribution is enormous. Contribution towards humanity is enormous. Being not nice to yourself, being not respect yourself, being nice, treat yourself nice. So, here it says, regular sentient beings, our time is consumed by ordinary mundane activities without any essence. So you might say, I eat every day and I sleep every night and I walk up every day. I also go to shower and bathroom, right? Well, what's so special about those? Are all living beings in a jungle, in the water, or anywhere, they're doing the same thing? Those things are nothing really special. So where is your special activities are? So this question, people not should ask you, but individually you ask yourself. And we all have to ask ourselves, besides that, what good things we do? What contribution we do for the humanity or all fellow sentient beings? So we waste a lot of time doing mundane things, but there are no much essence. That's what I mean. We must discard this way of living our life and transform all activity into the bodhisattva path. The last drop of our blood and the last breath of ourselves, if it's something helpful, useful for others, will that be nice? Will that be useful? That's the message I'm delivering you. So, bodhisattva path means something helpful for others. Anything you do, anything you think, anything you talk, is that very helpful, useful for all living beings? That's our goal is. That is our inspiration. To not make this transformation is to waste our time and energy on meaningless activities. So Buddhist practitioners have to adjust their activities from mundane, busy, meaningless activities. They begin to do meaningful activities. They get involved with it. One of the ways you get involved with the meaningful is volunteer work, help. And one of the ways they can meaningful is help others who need help. Physically, mentally, and verbally. The length of our life is constantly shrinking. Length of life is shrinking. Means if you are close to my age, you will notice that. But if you are younger than me, you still go, Lama talking about nonsense. That's not in my plate. Yeah. But someday you will appreciate. Someday. Passing quickly like a car speeding towards its destination on a freeway. Here we continue to fill our days and nights with meaningless activities. So here comes with the Buddhist practitioners, cut down mundane, meaningless activities and save some time, meditate. Save some time, do volunteer things. And this group, this center, this property belongs to no one individual. This is you can come and volunteer work. Clean up parking lot. Build the shrine room here. I like to build the stupa here. I like to build the temple here. So there's a lot of things you can do. To whom we doing? All sentient beings. For hundreds and hundreds of years from now on in the future, they will benefit. So that will be volunteer work. It's not a personal payment, name, or gain, anything. It belongs to all of us. So, meaningful activities. We must discard this mood of existence and replace it with the altruistic path of bodhisattva. I want practitioners, a Buddhist practitioner, always practice altruistic, compassion, understanding towards each other, and reduce complaining their life. But celebrating, appreciate their life more. The other way around. And which every action is a dharma practice for the limitless benefit of countless sentient beings. In order to help countless sentient beings, how you can help one or two cease their problems? One or two you can help them, comfort them, say good words. Comfort, say good words, do good things for one person, then maybe two person, three person, so you can increase. Before we talk about countless sentient beings, especially people who are dependent on you, you need to be practice with gentleness, kindness, compassion. People who are worse than you, you need practice compassion and love and kindness, compassion. People who are stronger you and mean to you, you still need to practice compassion. So, dharma practice needs increased. So here's a replace with altruistic path of bodhisattva on which every action at Dharma practice for the limitless benefit of countless sentient beings. So our goal is a view limitless sentient beings, no exception. But the reality of our skill, a scope, is reach limited people. But limited people we can help, but our goal is countless beings you can help. That's the goal. We have had since the beginning of this time to be involved with the pursuit of meaningless activities. Meaningless activity is all the activities that not bring you much spiritual or positive, that will be meaningless. Meaningless activities in secular existence. Now it is time to discard this path, a favorite of larger pursuits and wholesome activities. We must contemplate and meditate on what to discard and what to adopt. We need to adopt the gentleness because everybody can use gentleness. We need to adopt saying respectful words because everybody can use respect. Everybody like respected. When we do, we are engaging in the practice of Buddha Dhamma. We are engaging in the practice of Buddha Dhamma. Most important part is we need to engage in a positive sacred outlook or positive outlook, if I'm saying the right word. Sometimes I say a word and I'm not sure it's a correct word or not. So there is a morning, there is an evening, there is a midday. So we're projecting ourselves positive way as soon as your mindfulness awareness kicks in, we need to project a positive way. The one way to positive way is, it's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful around you. And it's a beautiful day and everything is good. And as far as we know, they are functioning. Everything is functioning. So when you think that way, may all beings on earth or in the space, they're experiencing happiness, that same quality happiness that you're experiencing right now. If you think about that, that is the inspiring practice of Buddha Dhamma. It is part of Buddha Dhamma practice. So I recommend to everybody that open your sacred outlook, open your new door, that is a secret, sacred, and it's a secret. Why is it sacred? Because it's very special, it's holy. It's a secret, why? Because not many people can do that. It's available, but not many people could do it, because of that it's a secret. Have you ever heard that the Vajrayana teaching is very secret? No wonder most people can't figure out why it's so secret, why it's so sacred, is they haven't connected. They haven't managed to connect it. If it's connected, then you will tell me how it's a secret, rather than I have to talk about that. I don't. You will tell me. You will tell everybody how is the secret. Even you, what you experience, what you see, you will, when you talk to, when you share, others may go, this guy is so crazy. I have to deal with this. I have to listen all this crap. But hopefully it will end in the next few minutes. I can't wait like that. That happened all the time, by the way. So thank you very much, everybody. And that is what to adapt or discard. So I jokingly tell them, audience, that if you don't know what to adapt, what to discard, anything harmful for you, for your body, speech, your mind, and that is what you need to be discard. Anything that is useful and meaningful and helpful for your body, speech, mind, that is what you're going to be adapt. So that's my way of saying is that. So thank you very much, everybody. I'll take a couple questions if you have any questions about this. Any questions if you have... Dr. Kailash, what's going on?
Lamala, if we have self-deception, is it skillful to seek feedback?
Say again?
If we have self-deception,
uh-huh.
Is it skillful to seek feedback from Dharma brothers and sisters about our patterns, what they notice?
It's okay to share that with the Dharma brothers and sisters, you mean? Oh, yeah, but I don't have to recommend that. You know why?
Why?
They already do. That's all they share. That's all they share. That's all they have. They cannot share something they don't have. They share what they have, what's available. What they experience, that's their share. So I don't have to say you have to share because they all are doing it. They all are doing it. Next question. Yes.
When you talk about
yes.
to do beneficial things or stay away from harmful things.
Yeah. It all depends on individual levels of your practice. What we're talking about here is it depends on individual levels of practice means individual how skillful mindfulness, awareness practice is. In other words, the size of the meditation, how you developed in your life, makes catching the problems when they approach you or notice the problems they put, you notice is. For give you one example, some they can feel enemy is approaching a miles, they already know they are coming. Some after they attack, then they know. Some, when they say, hey, I'm here, and they look, and then they see each other, then realize this is the problem. So it all depends on the individual levels of the meditation, mindfulness practice. So that's how I view. And it's not play one rule. Sort of speaking. Yeah. Next question. Yes.
Lama, okay, for some of us,
yeah,
including myself, I hear about the mundane world.
Right.
And I see two ways. Either I become a monk right away, or I continue my life.
Mm-hmm.
My life is busy as washing, cleaning, driving continues nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
Going to take care of my children and my family.
Mm-hmm.
How do I, with all this business, turn into a more holy way of doing, how can all of these mundane activities?
Yeah. I give you one. I think I hear enough from you. I give you. Rosanna, sorry about I'm laughing, but I'm laughing with happy. So there is 84 Mahasiddhas. Most of them are sort of speaking yogis, yoginis. In other words, household. And they didn't give up their mundane activities or mundane responsibilities. And they achieve enlightenment. In our lineage, we're talking about Marpa Lhotsawa, great Marpa Lhotsawa, founding father. Also, my understanding has a son. He has a son, say Tarman Dode, and then also Damima is the wife, and he's a wife. And I understand he was farming the field when Milarepa came looking for him, teacher. So it's not the problem that Dharma practice, you have to be monk and nun. In some ways, a monk, nun, if it's a good monk, good nun, yes, it's good because you renounce many things at that point. Like 400 items you have to renounce, or 253 things you have to renounce. If they follow the rule regulation, I hold very high. That's wonderful. But for practice on Buddha Dharma and Bodhicitta practice and helping others, it's not limited to that you have to cut hair or you have to wear some kind of yellow or red dress or black or blue or green. Not necessarily. There is hundreds of things that you can give up without even you have to take any vows about monk or nun. In other words, there are many things you can adopt into good practice and positive activities involved with without getting through monk and nun thing. I notice in a Buddhist monk, Buddhist monastery, monks have another problem they deal with. One of them is their own ego, that I am monk, I am nun, they should do this to me. They should. There is a lot of self-deception going on, even within the monks' realms and the nuns there. I also found great practitioners, more advanced and more practical and more useful than monks and nuns, even though they may be not monk and nun celibacy, what they call celibacy, but they are great accomplishment of monks and nuns available. So how you bring these two together? It was there in our history of Tibetan Buddhism in Tibet. It was in Indian Buddhist history. There is a yogi, yoginis, then there is a monks and nun. So there are two different traditions available. So you can benefit washing clothes, taking care of kids, and recite mantras, practice, without any practice, because your mind is still your control, and your voice is still your control, your body is still your control, even though you're doing all mundane things. And the mundane things transform into a positive, taking care of children's, taking care of laundry, you can always have practice with that. So if you can do that, your practice increases every day. When you eat, you make offerings. You appreciate what you're eating. And a part of meditation dharma practice. When you walk, you should appreciate every step you make that you can walk. it's a miracle, still you're walking. And realize yourself that it's fortunate I can walk and connect with the Buddha Dhamma. And wish everybody can do what I can do. You got practice right there. You sleep and peacefully. And also you think, may all sentient beings as happy, as content myself, that I'm sleeping in a wonderful, my cozy bed that is very comfortable, and I'm so comfortable, content, and happy. I want everybody to have like this kind of experience, all living beings, not those left under the bridge or homeless. Half of the people, perhaps 75% of the people, do not have a bed that you sleep. And 75% of the people on the planet may not have what you eat. The 75% of people do not have air condition wherever you go, in a car, in a shrine room, in your home, everywhere. These two heating system and air condition, one of the other had to going on. Or else you feel so uncomfortable. 75% don't have those, and they're walking and talking too. They're functioning just fine. We are so spoiled and took it to grand. Is that word, took it to? Granted. Took it to granted means we have this and we don't pay attention. We think that's, of course, that's not big deal kind of thing. We take it granted. Your life, what we have is you take it to granted a lot. I'm talking about here is, look at the 75% people on planet Earth. Hello, wake up. See, look, they're your brother, they're your sister. What's the difference between you with other people? Doesn't matter what language they use. Doesn't matter what language they use. But they're your brother, they're your sister. If they're not complaining, why you think you can complain? What made you right to complain when you are only 25% of spoiled people? So that's the other reason we take a lot of trips in other country, and I still fail sometimes. The students collect a lot of negatives from third world country. I say no. You should learn something from them. You should appreciate where you come from. And you should learn something from other country. That's the trip. That is the spiritual trip. Not compare with them and feel bad about the others. No. Feel bad? No. Learn something from other country. Appreciate what you have. And a couple of students that noticeably change their attitude, that after I take to third world country, they're longer complaining about where we live. I thought that's good, good trip. That's good trip. So usually they say this country is this problem, that problem. No country in the earth free from problem. They all have some, the size may be different. Some are bigger than others, but they all have internal problems, crimes, problems. So no one is a perfect. You know why? It's not God realm. It's a human realm. And humans is designed to make mistakes. It's designed to make mistakes. No matter what leader up there, that's not their fault when they make mistake. That's all they got. That's all they got. So they give that. So we have to say, okay, yeah, no one is perfect. And we have a look at good side, what they can do. There is always good side, and there's also bad side. But the good side is we need to more concentrate. Thank you, everybody.